been a number of years since my family and I were here. In fact, the last time we were here was 6 years ago for homecoming, and our family really wasn't a family yet. My wife, Ronna, was pregnant with our oldest child, Anlin, who will be 6 in November. Little did we know that little Eva would be on the way. Eva is 3 and a half, and in just a couple of weeks, about 2 weeks, we will celebrate our son's first birthday, Calder. So he will be 1 year old in just a couple of weeks, and it's hard to believe. When I was here as minister of youth, it was a long time ago, but since then, of course, Ron and I have gotten married and started a family, and we have 3 children, and people have asked us, what if we're done? Well, let me say it like this, as clearly as I know how. We have eeny, meeny, and miny, and there will be no mo. There will be no mo. It is always, always good to be home. Always good. And it's good to look out from this vantage point and to see such a faithful and loving and giving congregation that moves forward in faith, that embraces one another, and that proclaims the news of a chain breaker. That's good. That's good. I hope you have your Bible with you this morning. I invite you and encourage you to turn in your New Testament to the letter to the Hebrews. If you would turn there in that New Testament letter to Hebrews chapter 12 this morning. Heard an old preacher say one time, before I preach, I'd like to say something. Just let that kind of sink in for just a moment. There is a magnet on my refrigerator door in Boiling Springs, North Carolina, 2.5 hours down the road. There is a picture of this church on my refrigerator. So every time I go get one of the girls a cup of milk or go get something out of the fridge or at night go to get some ice cream, you know, sit down, watch TV, I'm reminded of South Fork and reminded to pray for this congregation. And I want to thank you for your loving care and your kindness. Pastor David, thank you for your warm and gracious welcome, a welcome that is so fitting for this congregation. Thank you for allowing me to be with you this morning. Read along with me in your copy of the Scriptures, Hebrews chapter 12. We're going to begin reading in the first verse. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his holy word. And now, O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Rock, our Redeemer. My wife accuses me of a lot of things. She does. I think that's a spiritual gift of all wives. They just kind of accuse their husbands of things. One of the things that my wife accuses me of is enjoying what she calls old man television. And I will confess to you this morning that her accusation is true, at least according to her definition of old man television. She defines old man TV as any kind of documentary that centers in on telling the story of something that happened in American history or world history, anything on the History Channel or the Smithsonian Channel, she just calls that old man TV. I have binge-watched episodes episodes on the History Channel on the presidents, episodes about the American Revolution and this series that's called America, the Story of Us. What's so fascinating to me about these programs and about history is how chock full history is of personalities. There's personalities everywhere in history. There are presidents and there's political patriarchs. There are battlefield heroes and there are religious champions, all tucked into our history. And what's most enjoyable, I think, about Old Man TV is how we can sit back in our recliners with a bowl of ice cream and we can watch and listen as the names scroll by. And we can enjoy it. And this morning, I'd like to draw your attention to the history that's marked out in this place. That's marked out here. As you walked into this holy house this morning, as you do each and every Sunday, it's almost as if we're binge-watching the History Channel because we are surrounded. Surrounded. There's so much history here. Walking in the door this morning took me back to a chapter in my own story. My own story of faith. I was blessed to serve as minister of youth here at South Fork for 3.5 incredible years. Incredible years. But honestly, those 3.5 years were but a drop in the bucket compared to the rich history of the congregation. February 1st, 1833, 184.5 years ago, this congregation was chartered. Think of all the things South Fork Baptist Church has been through. Think about it. Built on the heels of the War of 1812, South Fork has survived the Civil War and the Reconstruction, World War I and the Great Depression, World War II, Pearl Harbor. You have survived Korea. You've survived Elvis Presley and the Beatles. You survived the Civil Rights Movement, John Kennedy's assassination, the moon landing, Vietnam, the Cold War, the dawn of cable television, 9/11, wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. Andrew Jackson, Old Hickory, was president of the United States when South Fork was chartered. And since then, this congregation has seen the inauguration of 38 more presidents. All of that in the history of this place. Think of the things you've been through. Think about it. And at the same time, while all of that was going on, while all of the change was happening, while all of the things were taking place, there was a steady pace of serving God in God's kingdom right here in Todd and beyond. The only way that this congregation has survived is the only way any congregation survives, and that's because you know the one on whom your faith is built, the one who never changes, the one the writer of Hebrews refers to as the one who is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and that is Jesus Christ. There is so much behind you. The history is so rich and so meaningful. But congregation, there is also a lot ahead of you as well. There's also a lot ahead of you. The writer of Hebrews, here in these few verses, the writer of Hebrews has come through what many have called the Hall of Great Faith, where there are great heroes and heroines that are, their names are told and spoken, their stories are remembered through the history of the story of Israel. There's Cain and Abel and Enoch, and they're followed by Noah and Abraham and Sarah. Later on, the writer mentions Isaac and Jacob and Joseph and Moses. And as if that's not enough, there are characters like Rahab and Gideon and Barak and King David. It is a star-studded cast is Hebrews chapter 11, full of the history of faith with great leaders and preachers and prophets and political patriarchs. I do believe that Congregation South Fork, you could probably come up with the same kind of list from among this congregation. People who have gone before you, saints on whose shoulders you stand today. And now, having drawn the reader in with these words, reminding us of a cloud of witnesses, the preacher in Hebrews directs our attention from the past to the present. Since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. In ancient Greek language and literature, we find this term, cloud, used several times to describe seating in the Colosseum. As the seats would go up on either side, those who were in the cloud were those who were sitting in the nosebleed seats, we might say, in the Colosseum. Those who were sitting higher and higher up and watching the events taking place in the Colosseum. The writer of Hebrews, this great letter, encourages the church to stop and take a look around for just a moment. You are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. Full of people who are witnesses. Another New Testament term, witness. It surfaces time and time again as a means of describing people who have seen, who have experienced, and who know the move of God's presence in their lives and in their world. People who can bear testimony to the move of God. There are people around you, a great cloud of witnesses, who tell the story of what God has done and who live with hope that God will continue to do just that, will continue to be at work. But even more so, these are folks who have completed the race. They have finished the race. They are in the history book because they've crossed the finish line. Imagine yourself for just a moment as an Olympic runner. You've trained yourself. You've prepared yourself. And now it's time. It's time for the race to begin. And while you're standing there at the starting line, you're waiting for that gun to fire, you realize that the stands are full of great runners. You look around and you see runners like Jesse Owens and Eric Liddell, and you see Usain Bolt. And upon realizing their presence, see that they are watching you, you're encouraged. Encouraged. Because you too want to give this race everything you've got. Because there are people who know what it takes to run the race you're running. People who are watching you. People who are cheering you on. You want to give it your best and you don't want to lose focus on what you're doing. So the preacher in Hebrews says, let us throw off everything that hinders, the sin that so easily entangles, that we may run the race that is set before us, and we run it with patience. What the church does is so important. I can't stress that enough. Who the church is so important because the church, the people of God, live lives in the power of the Holy Spirit to the glory of God the Father, all the while proclaiming the resurrection of Jesus Christ. What the church does is so important that we should not lose our focus on what we do. We are bearing witness to the power and the move of God in our lives, in our generation, in this place. I have no doubt in my mind, South Fork, that you are bearing witness to what God is doing here. It's a race that we're running that we want to give all we've got. Give it all we've got. The mission and the task of the church are too important to allow anything to distract us or to detract us, because the grandstands are full. They're full. So we need to keep to the focal point It's easy to become sidetracked, especially these days. There are so many incredible distractions that come our way. We're sidetracked by social media so many times. We're sidetracked by current events, by trends and fads, and even by Mother Nature herself. U.S. News and World Report estimated that the Great American Eclipse that took place just a few weeks ago actually cost employers across America a combined $700 million because it was such a distraction to those who were at work. These kinds of distractions are costly, and they're costly not only in the business world, they can be costly in the life of a follower of Jesus as well, and in the life of a congregation. We can be tempted to focus our eyes and our attention on the things that are around us and detract us from our goal, from seeing the finish line, from fads and trends and traditions and customs. They can take away from how effective we can be in the power of the Holy Spirit as we're running this marathon-type race. Arthur. Arthur is 90 years old. And Arthur has played golf every day since he retired 25 years ago. One day, Arthur arrives home having played golf, and he's looking very downcast. And his wife asks him what's wrong, and he said, "I'm just going to give up golf. I'm just going to give up. My eyesight at 90 years old has become so bad that after I hit the ball, I can't see where it went." Well, his wife felt sorry for him. Now, that's something that hardly ever happens, right? His wife felt sorry for him, and she said, "Well, why don't you take my brother with you?" Well, Arthur responded to his wife and said, "What do you mean, take your brother with me? He's 103 years old. What good is he going to be out on the golf course?" And she said, "Now, wait a minute. I know he's 103, but his eyesight is perfect. He has not yet lost his eyesight." So Arthur agrees. He takes his 103-year-old brother-in-law with him to the golf course. He walks up to the tee. He tees up the ball. He drives the ball. And after a few seconds, he looks to his elderly brother-in-law and says, "All right, did you see where it went?" He said, "Yeah." "Well, where did it go?" "I don't remember." Sometimes we can see clearly, but we don't remember what it is we're trying to look at. We don't remember what it is we're trying to look at. And one of the beautiful realities of congregational worship, intergenerational worship like this, one of the beautiful realities of the church is that we are reminded week in and week out on a rhythmic basis of what's important. We are reminded every 7 days to keep our eyes and our hearts focused on Jesus. That's what we're about. That's why we're here. That's why the writer of Hebrews says, "So fix your eyes on Jesus." Notice the focus here is not on the great cloud of witnesses. The focus is on Jesus. It's on Jesus. If we focus on the other things, they trip us up, they slow us down. If we focus on the witnesses, we might be so enamored and so starstruck that we lose sight of Jesus. We lose focus on the faith that we have in Him. When in reality, Jesus is the architect and the finisher of our faith. As the architect of our faith, Jesus endured the cross and allowed God to raise Him from the dead. Thus, He authored and pioneered our faith. He pioneered His way through the murkiness of death and sin in order to pave the way to God. As the finisher of our faith, Jesus sat down at the right hand of God, the Father. The resurrection of Jesus is the finishing touch. It is the final nail in the coffin of death that gives us hope to run the race that is set before us. At very center of the cloud of witnesses stands Jesus, the one who himself bears witness to the power of the resurrecting God. The focal point, reminding us of where we are going and what we are doing, not to lose focus. Jesus had a focal point as well. When he lived his life, he knew the shame of the cross, but he believed in the glory of the resurrection, which is why Jesus and how Jesus was able to endure the opposition from sinful men. Thus, Jesus set the example of faith and faithfulness as one who is patient and endured this present life. He knew the power of God. He allowed it to move through him completely and did not allow anything to deter from what he was doing or to distract him from the race he knew God had called him to run. There was no fad. There was no trend. There was no custom. There was no tradition that Jesus focused on more than what God had called him to do. So the command is that since we are running this race in a place where the grandstands are filled with those who have gone before us, those whom we would consider heroes and heroines, let's stay focused on Jesus. And homecoming, I believe, is a good reminder, a good way to hold that truth in tension. I will never forget, church, never forget the 3.5 years I spent here in this beautiful place, in this beautiful community, serving alongside of you as your minister of youth. I remember missions trips that we took, and I remember singings. I remember brotherhood breakfasts that took place. I remember Todd festivals that were here. There were people who were actively involved in the congregation during my time with you who have now gone on and crossed the other side and are breathing in the air of resurrection. And many are still here. Many of you are still here and faithful in the here and now. Real names of real people who've lived real lives serving a real God. Persons who form out the hall of faith for South Fork, people who have run with patient endurance the race that has been set before them, people whose names have been changed to resurrected one in Jesus. When we walk into the sanctuary, we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. There are names that are embedded in these walls that have filled these rooms and these hallways with laughter and love and worship and prayer and faithfulness. People who have gone before us and are now cheering us on toward the goal line. People who have known the power of God in their own lives, in their generation, and through this congregation. It's a wonderful reality of our history. It's filled with people who have followed Jesus. But at the same time, they encourage us to stay focused on Jesus. I have a good pastor friend. Actually, when I left this congregation in 2006, the next congregation I served was in the little town of Maiden outside of Hickory. And I was there as minister of youth and children and associate pastor for 5.5 years while I was in divinity school. The pastor of that congregation, he and his wife have 2 adult daughters. Both of their daughters have graduated from graduate school and are in their mid-20s, upper 20s now. And a couple of summers ago, we met up. We met up together for supper, and he watched us. He watched Rana and I as we struggled with our young children, trying to help them sit down, trying to help them stay sitting down, trying to help them along, how we were caught up in this marathon of parenthood. And he looked at me and he said, "Andrew, hang in there. Hang in there. Because where you are, I once was. And where I am, you will be." What a powerful powerful reminder. As we walk into this sanctuary this morning, we hear the echoing voices from eternity saying, hang in there. Hang in there. Stay focused on Jesus, because where you are, we once were. And where we are, you will be. So hang in there. Those are encouraging words. My friend really put things in perspective for me that night, a way to just keep going and keep living. He served as a cloud of witness for me. This is exactly what takes place on Sunday mornings. And so we are reminded that we do not lose heart, because we are surrounded by people who have strived to follow Jesus. South Fork, as a congregation, you are running a race. So run patiently and run with endurance. Keep proper perspective and focus on what you are doing, who you are, and where you are going. The names that wrap around us like a cloud this morning are people who've crossed the finish line, and they're cheering us on as we too strive toward the goal. They're here to remind us not to give up, but to stay focused on Jesus. And one day, we all will be part of the great cloud of witnesses. But I'd like for you to hear this. Let's don't wait for that day to come to start being the great cloud of witnesses for one another. Rather, today, start seeing yourselves as a great cloud of witnesses for one another. In the here and now, spur one another on forward in faith toward Jesus, to live the resurrected life now, to bring the kingdom of God to earth as it is in heaven now. Because what you're doing right now matters. So what will the South Fork 50 years from now look back and say about this generation? What is it you're doing now that's pushing forward to help them stay focused on Jesus also? You know, I really do love old man TV, especially in the comfort of my recliner, which... a word about that recliner. I bought it upon the recommendation of my father-in-law. He sat down in it and he said, Andrew, this is the one. And now every time he comes to our house, he makes a beeline for my recliner. Not too many people I will let sit in my recliner. But he makes a beeline for my recliner, and this is my father-in-law. And he sits in it, and he leans himself back, and he says, Andrew, this is the best thing I ever talked you into. Not to mention his own daughter. Kicking back and enjoying the History Channel is not what the Christian faith is all about. Christianity is not a spectator sport. It's very intense. It's very in the moment. It's very focused. It's very full of action. When we see the names that are around us, we are reminded that we are called as followers of Jesus to move forward, to keep running, to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and live with a patient endurance. I routinely pray for you, South Fork. You are very dear to my heart, very important, and have played such an integral role, not only in my walk of faith, but in my own discernment of call into the ministry. You cheer me on. You cheer me on. There are times on Sunday mornings at our congregation, Sandy Run Baptist Church in Mooresboro, North Carolina, just outside of Shelby, there are times when I look up from the pulpit on Sunday mornings and I see you. You. You're in the balcony of our sanctuary. There you are, cheering me on, reminding me to stay focused and to keep pushing. See, it's not a competition that we're running here. It's not about outrunning the person who is next to you or the congregation who is down the road. It's about staying focused on Jesus. Since we are running this race together, we should encourage one another together. Together. The great cloud of witnesses is not only around you and up in the seats. The great cloud of witnesses is sitting right next to you right now. That person you walked in the door with this morning. The individual you spoke to in the Sunday school hallway. You are a great cloud of witnesses. You are embodying the presence of Jesus and helping one another to stay focused and keep moving forward. Forward. Focused on Jesus. After all, He wrote our faith. He finished our faith and is actually continuing to write that story of faith through you in these present days, in this generation. South Fork Baptist Church, you are a great cloud of witnesses. You are a hall of saints. You are a present history of God's holy activity in Todd. Thanks be to God. Will you pray with me? O God, as the author of our lives and our faith, we give you thanks for this, your work and activity throughout all generations. We are so grateful for those who have gone before us and for those who will come after us. We pray by your grace that you will grant us patient endurance to keep moving forward in this marathon of faith, encouraged by those who have finished and for the sake of those yet to come, that we may stay focused on you. In particular, we lift up South Fork Baptist Church to you. May you continue to fill this place with your glory and empower her members with your Spirit, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. For it is in the name of Jesus and in his resurrection we pray and we live.